been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go. It is the deadline for you to use a franchise tag, and to no surprise whatsoever, Lamar Jackson has been given the franchise tag by the Baltimore Ravens. However, it is the non-exclusive franchise tag. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, we'd have to franchise tag him. He's showing up right here on time. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I don't know, man. I might negotiate for a better...
You think you're going to... You want to go to one of the other podcasts, see what they're going to offer you first?
I'm going solo if I don't like it. Yeah, bye-bye. Get another co-host. Yeah, man. So, big news. We were waiting for this day. Circled it on the calendar. March 7th, 2023, the franchise tag deadline at 4 p.m. Could the Ravens and Lamar get a long-term deal done before then? It's been 2 years in the making. It's been a lot of drama. And leading up to it, folks knew that probably a long-term deal wasn't imminent. But which tag was it? Exclusive or non-exclusive? Fans obviously clamoring for the exclusive because, hey, why would you want your guy to talk to somebody, right? It's, the Ravens made a move. They showed their hand. Lamar showed his hand plenty of times. What say you about the decision with the Ravens to go non-exclusive versus the exclusive? And when I hear your opinion for the folks, before I hear your take, I want to break it down to the folks who don't know. Exclusive franchise tag, there's two of them. Exclusive franchise tag, meaning that the Ravens would have to pay. Now, this is not – the money is – particular to the top five average, it's they take whoever player you're franchising, because there was apparently six players franchised today in the NFL. You take the top, you take the top five salaries of that franchise player's position and you average it. So Lamar, if he would have gotten the exclusive, would have gotten 45, I think in the uppers of like 42 to 45 million. I think he's got 32 on the non-exclusive. And the difference is exclusive means the Ravens tag him, meaning that they still keep him under a kind of one-year contract. You franchise him for the year. You pay him the average of the top five quarterbacks in the position, which is, you know, low to mid-40s for that 1 year. And then in hopes of trying to work out a long-term deal. And then it prevents other teams from, like, courting him and talking to him and him from talking to them and having the match. The non-exclusive, which the Ravens ended up using, is the lesser of that. The tag was worth – 32 million is the reported number, but then that means Lamar can go out and talk to teams. And it's kind of like, in a sense, I kind of look as like it's a restricted free agent, but it's not what it is. It's more like, look, we have you under a $32 million franchise tag designation, which is sort of a contract. You're allowed to get, he's allowed to field offers from teams. And then the Ravens have an opportunity, depending on whatever that number is, that if there's high, low, medium, they can match whatever offers come in. If there's more than one, they have a chance to match an offer. And if they don't match it, Lamar is free to sign with that team. In exchange, the Ravens get two first round draft picks in consecutive years, which is 24 and 25. We don't know if they would be high, mid, or low. Top five, top 10 picks would be great. But that is the difference, and the Ravens use the non. So what is your reaction with the Ravens going with the non-exclusive franchise tag in this situation?
I think it's very telling that they use the non-exclusive, but I don't know in what way it's very telling, if that makes any sense. So you can take it as two ways for the non-exclusive. You can take it as, number one, that they are close to a deal and they felt like they didn't need to spend the extra, you know, whatever it was, $13 million on the exclusive tag, because right now they're $10 million over the cap at the moment with this tag on him. So I'm thinking, all right, it could mean they don't need to spend that extra money now as they're trying to renegotiate things with other players. That means they could potentially sign him to a long-term deal sooner rather than later. I think what's really going on, this is my personal opinion, is they did this non-exclusive because Lamar is set on a certain aspect of this long-term contract, and the rumor is guaranteed money. Remember, we've never heard officially from Lamar what he absolutely 100% wants. It's been rumored. It's been this guaranteed money that Deshaun Watson got. If he's stuck on that, I think the Ravens are kind of like putting their hands up in the air. This has been 25 months of this contract negotiation, and it's them kind of going, hey, you think you can get a guaranteed contract? Have at it. Go for it. You want to be your represent yourself without an agent? Go for it. We're sick and tired of talking to you. Go do your own thing. Go get what you want to get. That's what I kind of think. I'm leaning towards that way because that's the way I'm feeling as a fan. I'm sick and tired of talking about this contract. I don't want to talk about this contract anymore. I don't think Lamar wants to be here. If he can get a contract somewhere else and they're going to guarantee it for him and we can work out a trade or a deal or something like that, then I think the Ravens are, personally, my opinion, now again, we're not insiders in any way, but I think the way that this, what this really shows is them going, hey, you want this guaranteed contract? Go find it yourself.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, given that, I tend to agree with you on that. At first, you know, the fan in me wanted the exclusive, like, look, I don't want a team talking to him. You know, obviously want him here. But I feel like the non-exclusive is what my gut told me that was going to happen. And two, I feel like the Ravens are calling Lamar's bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, like you said, you want all this money? Go out and see what you're worth and then get back to us. And then the Ravens finally know what that number is, because I think that's what the conversation has been 2 years with all the arguments. It ain't that Lamar ain't good or, you know, he can or can't throw or this and that. We get it. He's got some injury concerns now with the whole trainer situation with the players had to say, and that's another story. But, you know, look, I've always told somebody with arguing about what is he worth or not. I said, my thing is, do you want me to ask you what your salary is at your job and then be like, oh, well, yeah, people in that industry, yeah, you shouldn't be making that because you're not worth that. Like, you want me to criticize that? Like, let the man earn his money first. Second is, what's the Ravens record with him or without him? That simple as that. So he's going to command some money. Now, I think he needs to get off the side of this whole fully guaranteed. And I was talking amongst friends today on some group chats. We solely blame the Cleveland Browns for this. It's the Browns' fault that we're in this mess. Because I'm like, and not only that, but I also made a point. Why is the NFL Players Association allowing the Browns to even let the contract go through? Like, to my recollection, man, I don't recall any situation where an NFL player got a fully guaranteed contract like that ever.
Right.
So why?
And if you think about it, the Browns are brilliant. Think about this. They fully guaranteed this contract to Deshaun Watson, knowing Lamar's contract's coming up and Joe Burrow's contract's coming up.
It was going to be done. You said they did on purpose as the kind of like
to tank the division.
Yeah, the tank, or not only that, but tank the Ravens and like sabotage the situation. So, you know, it just really makes me think about all that and the dominoes that fall. But like, no, I don't want my point getting lost. The thing of the matter is always said, what's the Ravens record with him, without him? He's going to get something. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about like, and you hear the words reportedly, you know, and allegedly, and no one really knows. Like, we heard like, oh, he asked for this. And then the Ravens said this. I mean, I'll be honest with you, apart from reporters reporting that, there's numbers I feel like aren't put out of the air. There's some truth to it all, but the Ravens haven't themselves come out and said, yeah, we got, like, I haven't heard Eric DeCosta or Ozzie or anybody say, yeah, we offered this contract and Lamar turned it down. It's just, it's reporters reporting it. They're getting it somewhere. It's almost like we don't know what to believe at this point, but the fact of the matter is he's going to go out and command some money and the Ravens are going to have the chance to match it. It's all said and done. It's very simple. The fact it's like, now it's like, okay, what's that number? But I think the mystery is going to be revealed now. What is that number? You're going to see what Lamar's true market value of other teams is. Now, I don't want to compare this situation because I feel like, number one, it's unfair. Totally different player, totally different circumstances. And you're talking about a Hall of Famer versus Lamar, and I'm talking about Ray Lewis. Is it happened before, right? Like Ray, you know, was tested free agency in the whole, like, oh, the star on the helmet with Dallas, and everybody thought he might leave, but ultimately, you know, that was the kind of the Ravens challenged him, like, look, go command and see what you're on the market. No one's going to pay you what you think you're worth, given where you're at in your career. So right. Why don't you just stay in Baltimore, wind up? And of course, he always played it. Oh, it's always been Baltimore. I just wanted to, you know, he was allowed to do that, but it was a scary game because there was no tag, or there was no, it was kind of like, Ray, go out and see what you're worth. And that's the point I'm trying to make, the correlation here. It's the Ravens are daring Lamar go, okay, we haven't had a contract or negotiation come close for 2 years. Let's use the non-exclusive. I think the Ravens are smart in doing it. You know, go out, let him see it. The Ravens are going to get something for him. And you don't think the Ravens aren't stupid, right? Like, you have to feel like the Ravens done the research. They probably know what the market is for Lamar. They probably talked to other teams. And not only that, because a lot of folks are like, why don't they exclusive franchise tag him, or tag and trade him, or, like, you know, or try that? Because I think if you do, I think you, if you tag a player under exclusive, he's still under contract with you, then you can do a whole trade. But maybe the Ravens tried it and the trade package wasn't worth it with the compensation. I don't know. But, you know, 2 first-round picks, you know, flipping that they got him at 32nd overall. Hey, they did that to Hollywood Brown in the draft, believe it or not. Remember, like, you know, he got drafted in the first round at a certain spot, and the Ravens traded him for another first-round pick, and the first-round pick they got back for him was higher than where he was drafted. So it was, like, smart business, right?
Right.
And, you know, at this point, you know, it's a different player, different circumstance. And what sucks for the Ravens' sake is if they truly let Lamar do this, or they are now, not if, and he commands a certain contract and the Ravens don't want to match it, either the Ravens can or they won't. There's two options to do, right? There's the only two ways they can go. And the fact that remains is the Ravens kind of start from scratch. Like, the Ravens, you can say what you want about his stats, about regression, about anything you want in the last, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 seasons. But the fact that remains is the Ravens win more with Lamar than they have it without him. So there was a tweet out there that said, it was from, I'll give credit where credit's due, Nitty Gritty 410 said, in 2022, the Ravens averaged 23, and this isn't record, this is about points per game, but the Ravens averaged 23.8 points per game with Lamar, 13 points per game without Lamar. The Ravens have averaged 27.4 points per game with Lamar during his whole tenure since 18, averaged 17.2 without him. So the scoring is down and the records are down when Lamar doesn't play for the Ravens, whether it's, you know, he's out for an injury. But I mean, the only time he's missed time was with an injury. So let's get the record straight. He hasn't sit out. He hasn't held out. So
yeah,
that's my thing. It's like, to me, what's that worth to your franchise? You know what he's capable of. Someone actually commented on somebody's social media post and said, you know, and again, I'm not even going to talk the P word because playoffs are relevant. And I always said playoffs are relevant unless you win the whole thing. So let's get off that snide. Someone's mind blown. They're like, Lamar's only lost 16 career games. I'm like, yeah, like 45, I think 45 or 46 and 16 or something like that. He's won over 70% of his games, like, since he started. So that's why I'm saying, like, what's that worth to the Ravens? They have a certain number. And then with the whole injuries we get, he hasn't played 10 games in the last 2 years. And it came off the back half of the season when they were trying to build towards that playoff run. So, and you've seen it last year. They barely scratched by with what they had without him. And all the drama aside, I'm right with you, man. Circling back to the beginning, whatever the decision is, now that we know that the tags happened, whatever decision is, let's just hopefully it ends the best way for both parties and let's get on with it. And, but, you know, a lot of folks think that this is an ugly divorce, that the end's here for 8 in Baltimore. And a lot of folks are mad about it. They're frustrated about it. Rightfully so. You're allowed to. I mean, no, you know, he was the next guy, you know, replacing Joe, and to do what he's done so far and all the ups and downs and the MVP and the excitement and the spin moves and all that. You know, at the end of the day, it's a business, but, you know, like DaCosta said in the statement, they're trying to reach a deal where it's fair to both sides, both the fair to Lamar and the Ravens. And, I just feel like, you know, if you want to be mad at anybody, because everybody's like mad at Lamar and be selfish again, I told you, point the finger at the Browns. It's their fault. We're in this mess because if Watson doesn't get a guaranteed contract, I don't think it's just this difficult. But because Lamar's got it in his mind with no agent and all that, he's like, hey, and I don't blame him. What would you do? You know, if a guy who hasn't played in a couple years gets a fully guaranteed contract over $200 million and you're way better than him, you're like, okay, you would do the same thing, and don't you dare say you wouldn't, because we all would. He's doing that because he can and he should, but, you know, is he worth it? That's another question. That's another question for another action-packed show, but it's going to be interesting, man, to see what teams line up if offer sheets come in, and the Ravens have till mid-July to figure all this out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, my biggest worry going forward is, let's say that Lamar does sign a long-term deal down the road. Let's say he does sign one in July, and because they had to use this franchise tag now, that they had to let some guys go, they had to restructure some contracts. What's it going to be like for him to walk into that that locker room in training camp? Because now that he is a franchise tag, he doesn't have to show up to OTAs. He doesn't have to come to mandatory mini camp because he's technically not a part of the team, a full-fledged part of the team at the moment. So what's it going to be like when he walks into that locker room for the first time? And let's say that Chuck Clark had to take a pay cut, or Calais Campbell had to take a pay cut, or Gus Edwards isn't there because they had to let him go because they had to get underneath the cap in March. So I'm worried of what this franchise tag and him holding out and everything does to the team. Will this team want to play behind Lamar like they have in the past? Because he does rally the troops. He is a guy that motivates people, and everybody loves to play with Lamar. But I'm worried that this type of it's like you said, it's not selfishness, because he's trying to get the biggest bang for his buck. So I get it. But this is a team sport, and if you're demanding more money, but it means somebody else is getting less money than they were last year, I mean, there's going to be, you know, some hard feelings about that.
Absolutely. And everybody points to the, well, Brady took less money to keep players around him. Lamar's not Tom Brady. Can we get off that? Like, I get it, right? You know, I don't think Peyton Manning did that. You know, so, like, Tom's special. He's the NFL's far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's 7-time champion, dude. I mean, name the trophy after the dude. You know, forget Lombardi, man.
Call it the Brady.
I mean, yeah. Why not? I mean, he's earned it. Like, stop. Like, I get it, right? But then, also in the same breath, Lamar was also a unanimous MVP, just like Tom Brady. So, I mean, look, you can talk this 15 different ways, up and down, sideways. It's going to be, at the end of the day, it's going to be the best for both parties involved. You know, and what's interesting is you talk about, like, everybody's got something to say about it. Former Raven Tony Jefferson chimed in with his opinion. He said Lamar will be a Raven. They'll let the market dictate his contract, which we were just talking about. That's the whole non-exclusive. Also believe they'll match any offer he accepts. Two first-round picks is simply not enough to replace his rare talent and his value to the franchise. Ravens fans, it will work out, just my opinion, though. So, you know, everybody's going to have something to say. I've already heard people are like, let him walk. Okay, that's fine. You know, there's no one needs to argue about it. If you want to let him walk and the Ravens start over, great. If you're on Team Lamar and you want him to build and you want to go start, you know, balling out and him to get healthy and start winning, great. But, you know, it's just been, like I said, I'm like you, man. It's just like everybody, as soon as somebody asked me about, which boy Lamar? I'm like, I don't even care anymore. Like, I just don't. I've always said I root for the name on the front, not the back, because players come and go. The bottom Ravens stay. And I'm tired of the whole, you know, I'm just tired of it. Like, you know, players come and go, man. Like, I followed Iverson through his career in the NBA. Yeah, I was a Sixers fan. When he left the Sixers, I watched other teams play, like Detroit and Denver and other teams that he played on, Memphis. You know, I latched onto that player. You know, when you're a hometown, obviously it's different. You love the Baltimore Ravens. You don't love the Lamar Jacksons. And if you're one that fell in love with Lamar Jackson and fell out of love with the Baltimore Ravens, then by all means, if Lamar goes plays elsewhere, then follow Lamar. But don't be a Baltimore. Don't be double dipping. I mean, yeah, you could probably still support Lamar, what he does, and still support the Ravens. Yeah, sure. you know, there's no rules against fandom, but it's just saying, like, don't, you know, it's just people just got to put it in perspective. You know, this is a hard business, and unfortunately, this is the ugliness that we're seeing that's playing right before us in the last few years.
Do you think, this will be my last question before we get off of this and end the show, but do you think that this whole thing has kind of damaged Lamar's image and the Ravens' image? Because the whole thing is pay the man, pay the man, pay the man, pay the man. Why aren't you paying him? Why aren't you paying him? Why aren't you paying him? But the Ravens have, you know, they've done their best to surround him with good players. I mean, they drafted Hollywood Brown in the first round. They drafted Rashad Bateman in the first round. They paid Ronnie Stanley a good chunk of money. They brought up Tyler Lindenbaum in the first round. Like, they've done their best to make the offense strong around Lamar. And it worries me that, again, this is something else that worries me. Like, if Lamar holds out, he gets this big paycheck, they can't afford to buy these high-end players on the offense again, and Lamar doesn't do well, then people are going to turn against Lamar. But at the same time, because the Ravens and Lamar can't come to a deal, I wonder if fans are going to start turning against the Ravens, because there's, you know, starting. Yeah, it's already starting. Like, the people are getting very sour on this franchise. I mean,
I think someone commented on one of our posts on the call, like, oh, there's like disarray or turmoil in the franchise. Like, look with like the coaching staff and like players coming out tweeting stuff, and people are like, oh, players are spouting off on social media and saying things, and Bateman's going off and Lamar's jerking them around. I mean, and it's just like, but then you think about it and I'm like, they just traded for and negotiated with an all-pro linebacker who also doesn't have an agent just like Lamar, so they can get it done.
Right.
And Eric DaCosta is right in his statement. They historically have gotten deals done after they franchise players. It's happened every single time. So, like I said before, me and you certainly agree on this, that the non-exclusive was the right play, or at least we think so. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens are calling his bluff, saying, okay, you think you're worth all this guaranteed money? Go find it. Let's see if a team wants to do it, and it'll be up to the it's like now they put the ball in Lamar's court fully and said, go get it, bro. Go right. Get it. Now it's going to be, when that happens, if it happens, it's going to be back in the Ravens' court and say, okay, Ravens, it's your turn. Do you want to match and keep eight, or do you want to let them walk and you get your turn for rounders and start over? Then that's a business decision they have to make. That's the two things that it's a crossroads right now. And it sucks this has been 2 years in the making. But, dude, for the last week, I was even out of lunch yesterday. All sports TVs, Lamar, Lamar, Lamar. I mean, it makes you feel good as a Ravens fan, because the Ravens are, they're talking about the Ravens and the Ravens player on the TV, but it's also a lot of negative, because there's a lot of opinions, strong opinions. There's a lot of arguments. There's this side, there's that side. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, you know, let's just all listen to each other, be nice. Cause dude, I've seen some venom spit before amongst Ravens fans. It's got to stop. I mean, you know, if you don't like Lamar, great. If you don't think he's worth it, great. But look, it ain't your money they're spending. The Ravens are spending the money, so what do you care? Like, it's up to them. If they want to keep them and match offers and offer them a guaranteed contract, you know, let it work out, you know. But, you know, I'm not trying to let it bother me personally. You know, I'm still going to root for the Ravens and whatever it is. Like I told my buddy, I said, whatever they decide to do, like, you could be mad if they let them walk. I'm like, hey, dude, Lamar, I can't control it. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, I can be mad and sell my season tickets, but that hurts me. Don't hurt the team. Someone else is going to buy them. Like, it hurts me because I don't get to enjoy it. So I'm just going to just sit back and let it play out. And whatever news breaks, we're here to talk about it. Well, and we can be strongly disagreeing with the decision, and we can certainly strongly agree with the decision, just like me and you are our wing sauces. But, you know, and always never let that go. Always in you. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's going to be interesting. But now that that's out of the way, let the non-exclusive festivities begin. It's going to be fun, and we'll be here every step of the way when news breaks.
Yeah, the next deadline is July 17th for Lamar, but will something happen at the draft? Will something happen at free agency? Will somebody offer him that fully exclusive deal, that fully guaranteed contract? Only time will tell, but as of right now, non-exclusive franchise tag for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll see what happens. It's the off season. It's going to be a busy one. The call will be there every step of the way to keep you entertained. But Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
For the Lamar sweepstakes, I think this one deserves a hearty quote the Raven nevermore.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just go over to our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server. Talk to us over there in our tailgate chat. That's where we talk all things off-season football. You can also go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out or some Lamar news decides to break, we will let you know over on our Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord and Hive, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Gotcha, man. I love the way you rattle those social medias and those platforms. Just like, it's like butter, man. It's like boom, bam, 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 bam. Like, you just don't skip a beat, man. It's like you haven't memorized.
I mean, yeah. I'm not reading off any paper. I'm doing this on the fly.
It's like you just memorize it now. Before we do get out of here, should we break the news for a preview of our upcoming podcast? Our next installment of the call?
Yeah, let's do a little tease here. Let's talk a little bit about it. Josh has been hard at work. We have a special guest coming up. Two guests coming up soon. So if you guys have noted on the Baltimore Ravens social media accounts, the Baltimore Ravens playmakers will soon be a thing of the past. Unfortunately, they decided to break down the program and not renew it for next season. It is a huge bummer, but Josh has been working hard, and we're going to have a couple former playmakers on the show to kind of talk about their experience and how much they enjoyed it and some of the people they got to meet. And we're going to ask all kinds of really great questions about what the whole experience was like. Josh and I were always big fans of that organization and had a lot of fun going out to different bars and places around Baltimore to meet playmakers. So I know him and I are both very sad to see that that little part of the Ravens fandom, the Ravens community, not be returning next year. So it's a big bummer, but we're going to think about it, and we're going to talk about the what it's been like in the past.
Huge bummer. Yeah, absolutely, man. We're sad to see any part of the Ravens organization discontinue. You know, it's, you know, every aspect of it's just fun for the fans and fun to engage with. And, you know, I think what's been said, just, you know, I think after 15 long years, you know, they're getting rid of the program and sunsetting it and decommissioning it. So it's just, it's a sad day because it meant a lot to folks that were part of that. Not only the fans, because they, like me and you, enjoyed those kind of the times, but basically going to the events, and it meant a lot for the people that were involved in the Playmakers program. And we're getting to interview two former Playmakers that were a part of that, and can't wait to hear their stories and share their experiences through the Ravens program and open eyes to it, because not a lot of folks might know about the Playmakers organization that was formerly with the Ravens. And it'll give the ladies a great platform to share. Or can't wait to get a chance to talk to them about that. And I'm very happy that they accepted our invite. And we are inviting Tracy Lee and Lauren Ann on next week. We're going to be talking. So look out for that next installment of the call. That'll be our next one, and we'll be here again. Like Brandon said, anytime Ravens news breaks, we're on top of it. Here to discuss it. Lamar, draft, free agency, it's all here, and I can't wait to see what's in store as everybody. But stay steadfast with us. We're entering the 2023 offseason in a hard way. Non-exclusive franchise, Lamar Jackson. Let the fun begin. Till then, everybody, call faithful. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.